Hello and welcome to Zero Hour with our hosts Hugh Joyce and Tim Bowring. Today's show is an ongoing series that explores Hanover's and the surrounding Metro Richmond area's thriving art scene and the people who make it happen. Every Wednesday at 12:30, we sit down with one of these folks. The conversation is lively and spontaneous, so pull up a chair and meet some fascinating people. Well, welcome, Karen Chase. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Yes. I have some information here about you that I'd like to share with the listeners. Karen Chase is a writer, designer, photographer, and traveler. Born in Canada, she has lived in the United States since 1990. As a professional graphic designer and copywriter, she has owned her own branding and design studio since 2004, with an offshoot called 224 Pages, which specializes in design for authors and publishers. In addition to building her company, she's a freelance writer of historical fiction, poetry, and nonfiction. Bonjour 40 is her first book, and she is currently working on a historical novel about the Declaration of Independence. She and her partner Ted live in Virginia with their two cats, Linus and Olive. That pretty much does it. I guess we're done.
Thanks for having me. It's been great.
Sure. Yeah, really. Thanks so much for sharing that information with us. So you walked in and you didn't look at all like you'd been writing all day long. You looked absolutely clear as a bell. Usually when I'm in a studio or writing all day long, it's like there's a cloud around my head. So as a writer, what was your day like?
Today it was, I had two guest blog posts to do and my own blog.
What's it for us idiots? What's a guest blog post?
It's for other people who have a blog and they've asked me to write something for it. Promotion of your own work. So
what'd you write about? You wrote about yourself.
Right, yeah.
Hi, it's me.
Yeah, one of the guys, he's really fun. He has a blog called The Other Stephen King, and he interviews authors all over Richmond. So that was one I did today. Let's see. The other one I did was for, I have a regular column I do now monthly for a group called shelfpleasure.com. It's a site for women who love to read.
Really?
And they talk all about books. A couple editors have put it together. And the editor who worked on Bonjour 40 is one of the women who runs that website.
Wow.
And I did a couple little guest features over the last couple months after they launched, and they said, do you want a regular column? And I said, that'd be great. What do you want? And they said, better yet, what do you want?
Yeah.
And I said, I'd love to do it about traveling, all the traveling I do for research and for writing. And so We'll Travel for Words is my monthly column, which means
we'll travel for words.
I get to travel for words now officially. So
that's right.
So I did that today. And then I did my own blog, which runs every Friday.
And what's that called?
It's called Compositions, and I write, but I also have other people that guest post on my blog.
Right.
And the only requirement is that it be about compositions, whether that be writing or art. I do a fine artist feature of the month every first Friday. And but I keep words to 250 words maximum because I have enough writing to do. So I try to keep my blog to a minimum, and the bloggers that are on it with me, they really appreciate the fact they don't have to write too much.
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting, and I'm assuming you've been around long enough, although you're still relatively young, but the transition from, my transition is from IBM Selectric to computer to social networking, kind of. For you, how has that worked as a writer? I mean, that must be a very interesting transition from you're sitting in a room by yourself and you're writing, and I don't know if you had this experience, and you're hoping that somebody somewhere out there might actually publish this or
pick it up and read it.
And now all of a sudden the world's pretty much wide open.
It is pretty much wide open.
So what's that been like as a writer?
It's been interesting, especially in the last year. I put out Bonjour 40 a year ago, and I put it out as an ebook primarily, or solely really as an ebook. And we were just talking about this the other day. I finally released the print version in December. And so the book itself, with all the words and all the content, has been out for a year. Mm. But now that the print book is out, people are going, oh, you're a writer.
And now you're a real writer.
And I was thinking, well, what was I doing the last year before the print version came out? Because that's all I've been doing, really. And, I tried the ebook publishing because I wanted to see what that platform was like and how did it go. And the sales have been really great.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. And a lot more sales in the first few months of selling the ebook than I've even made in the print book. Wow. But even just the few people that I've given it to, friends and family, mm-hmm. I mean, even family who know that I've been writing mm-hmm. all this time said, well, look, you're a published author. Like, it finally broke through just because there was something tangible to hold, which I must admit, I kind of like the idea because I like books. I like bookstores and the idea that people still yeah. see authors as yeah. someone who's on a page.
I think you might be the tail end.
I might
you know?
Be.
You
but
might be.
I might be the tail end, but I still tried out the ebook thing first.
Yeah.
But
yeah. All right. So tell me about Bonjour 40 and you know what spurred that?
What spurred it is I turned 39 and my father called and said, "Where are you going for your 40th?" Uh-huh. And I said, "Well, that was my father. My parents are real travel bug type of people, so they said, where are you going?" So I thought about it for a while, and I said, "Well, you know, I think I'm going to go to Paris." And at first, it was going to be for 10 days, and then I thought maybe a couple of weeks, and I thought, how many times am I going to turn 40? I'll do that for a month instead.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had a whole year
by
to
By the
plan.
Way, you'll turn 40 once. I can answer that question.
Yeah.
And you'll also be you're
Nothing
as young as you'll ever
by
be.
You. In fact, my father told me when I turned 39, I was in my 40th year already, so I better get busy on
right.
it. But
depending on how you count, right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I had a year to plan and save for the trip and things like that. And during the course of that year, friends and family and people I worked with all said, are you going to write us? You can email. Will you get on Skype? Will you talk to us? Will you do all these?
Right.
I'm going to Paris to get away from all that, not... Right. have you with me all day, but right. to have you with me all day, I'll start a blog instead. So mm-hmm. I did that and kept a daily blog. Again, I kept it short, 500 words maximum, something you could read in about 40 seconds.
But you went by yourself, right?
I went for the first 3.5 weeks on my own, and then Ted came and joined me for the last week and a half, almost 2 weeks.
Yeah. So but there weren't a lot of friends that you knew. You weren't going into a community of people. You weren't.
No, I
so
knew.
So you just arrived
no
and
one.
Said bonjour Paris, and
yeah, well,
the
my...
rest was easy, right?
Well, after getting lost a few times, and
yeah, really. Oh, au revoir.
Yeah,
Karen.
Yeah, I took some French classes, and then within the first 24 hours of being in Paris, promptly realized my French sucked.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
awful.
Yeah.
It was awful. And moreover, I was just afraid to use it because yeah. they were talking so fast. And, yeah. you know, you say, bonjour, je m'appelle Karen. And they think, oh, she knows enough French. And then
they're off and
they
right.
want to tell you about their dreams and their life story. Mm-hmm. And you're saying, hold on.
All
in
metaphysical terms.
I just want to order some cheese. <You know? laughs> So it was really, it was a little bit of a challenge. But when you're immersed in it like that, if you have some of the basics, it's amazing.
So is there any way you can talk about, I mean, what was this about? What was this? I mean, I know you're 40. I know you wanted to go to Paris, and I know you wanted to write.
Yeah.
But why? I mean, it's a memoir.
It's a memoir, so. A memoir and a travel essay. So it started out with really just a blog, and then about 6 or 7 days into it, a friend of mine who was
oh,
an editor.
Okay, so you were just going to go to Paris.
I was just going to go to Paris and just hang out.
Just hang out
it
in Paris.
Wasn't an, there, right. there wasn't an end goal
oh,
of there
funny.
Being a book
okay,
or anything.
Okay, okay, okay.
And about 7 days into it, I emailed an editor who ended up being the editor on the finished book. And I knew her from another project. And I said, you know, you're following this. I'm enjoying this.
Yeah.
Do you have any tips for making it a better blog while I'm gone? That's right. Still no book idea in mind. And she wrote me back and said, you know, I have some thoughts while you're there. Make it more personable. Don't use one should do something. Say, I did this. And right. what did you feel about it? And right. and make it more personal. And the blog took a bit of a turn. And then I started racking up followers. People I didn't know were following the
really?
Blog. And they were commenting on posts and things like that. And eventually I got back and after it was all done and I was hearing some of the comments, I contacted the editor again. And I said, do you think it's possible that I should possibly? And she said, yes.
Yeah, really?
Like, without even really finishing, she said, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Do you have longer pieces you can put in? Mm-hmm. Because blog formats are ultimately fairly short.
Right.
And I thought, well, at the time, I was also working on the book. I'm still working on now, a new book. And I thought, well, if I'm going to try my hand at publishing, maybe I ought to see what the self-publishing business is about, what it's like to publish an ebook.
Mm-hmm.
how hard this process is,
right.
and maybe just use this as a little test to see how that goes. Just to try it out, because it's such a new thing for people to self-publish books. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are being done poorly. Some are being done well, and very few are being done without the help of a professional editor and a professional designer and a professional marketing. And I had a lot of that background already, so.
Okay, yeah.
I thought, let's give it a shot and see what happens.
So how do you market a book that's online?
Online.
Okay, thank you. Next question. So,
I hired a PR group to work with me because PR was the one thing I didn't know how to do very well. I could market it. I could, you know, set up a Facebook page and do social media and set up a Twitter account and all that stuff. But how did I begin to do it? So they set up a 40-day blog tour. 40 days for 40 days in Paris and 42nd.
So a 40-day blog tour. So you were spending time on other people's blogs?
I was guest blogging.
You were blogging all over the place.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'm the thing that's stuck in my head, I guess, is it's just kind of cool. Cool. That's such a great word.
it was.
It's really cool, man. I find it fascinating that someone who is living with someone just says, okay, for my 40th birthday, I'm going to go to Paris and I'll catch up with you in a couple of weeks. It's interesting. I think it's gutsy and,
but it certainly doesn't come out of the blue, though.
We'd
taken weekend trips without one another. He's gone hunting and hiking and fishing and stuff on his own. And we recognize the importance of alone time for one another.
Mm-hmm.
And also,
it is important.
What do you want to do with your life is an important question. And having someone at home that says, if that's what you want to do, you know, I'm working anyway. You have the time and the money and the means.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend who, did you just say go?
I know, it's a Canadian. It comes out,
it's
like,
nice.
Yeah, can't help
it. Yeah, it's good, I like it. I was talking to a friend and I said, you'd never guess that this woman is almost 70. I mean, really you would guess she was maybe in her 50s. And I said, as we get older, do you spend more time thinking about death? Do you, not that we need to take this someplace weird, but and she had the best answer. She said, actually, I spend a lot more time thinking about how I spend my time and how much time I have left, And she said, and it's very clear there isn't as much as there was. So she said, so I'm much more careful about what I'm doing and where I am and how I'm spending my time.
Right.
So good for you for going to Paris at 40. So the other book. The second book that you've been working on now for a while. You're rewriting
years.
The Constitution of the United States, I understand.
The Declaration.
What's the difference? Constitution of the United States, Declaration of Independence. I'm in the Tea Party. Whatever.
It's a little different.
A little different. Tell people how they are different. I think there are some folks out there who might actually want to know that.
The Declaration was not a declaration of how to run a country, but how to leave one.
Right.
It was
John.
It was a declaration of separation. Yeah.
Right.
I've had it with this relationship. You suck. I'm out.
Right.
And the Constitution, which obviously came later, was, oh boy, now we have a country. How are we going to run that thing?
Mm-hmm. Something about Bill of Rights in there. And that
right.
Kind of
and how are we not going to end up looking like the monarchy we left because we've kind of gone that way. So.
Right. So what caught you about the Declaration of Independence? I mean, that's a interesting document to want to... I think it's interesting.
It is. Well, first of all, I just had a fondness for the American history and casually read books, about Teddy Roosevelt and things like that on my own. And ended up going further back and found a number of stories around the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the Declaration that I thought were interesting. Not often told, and decided.
Can you talk about any of those stories, or are we going to ruin your book?
I might ruin the book at this point because it's not often told. Yeah. It basically the Declaration book I'm working on is around the signing. A lot of people focus on the importance of getting it written, and then they jump right into war. And I'm going to kind of hit the middle ground in there.
Can you talk about? Because you talked about it with me a little bit before, about some of the characters and how that unfolds.
There's a number of signers that are involved in the book, but it's a historical fiction, so I take a little bit of license. So rather than a nonfiction book about it, and there are plenty of great ones out there, about the Declaration, many of which I've at this point read, but they, rather than focus on, you know, a lot of the facts and things, I looked for the holes in the story.
Right.
So, you know, a little tidbit, there's a handprint on the back of the Declaration of Independence. Most people don't know that.
Yeah.
There's
whose is it?
A little inked handprint.
Does anybody know whose it is?
And they don't know.
They don't know.
They don't know. And to do DNA testing at this point on it, is going to destroy part of the Declaration. So
amazing.
It's a great hole for me to fill. I answer the question of how did that get there? And that's the fiction part.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. Okay.
How did that get there?
Right.
So little things like that have kind of helped build the story, but it's, I'm not quite ready to say yet. There are 280 pages of it sitting on my editor's desk in New York right now.
Okay.
Which
are you, do you think you're done?
No, I've got about 100 pages to go.
Really?
But we just got far enough into it that there's a chunk. She's been great enough to, rather than working with a complete manuscript, she's helped me. She looked at 50 or so pages plus an outline.
Really?
And now she has the 280 pages because I found with an earlier book project I did that when you complete a whole manuscript and then bring in an editor, it's like finishing your house and finding out you have a rocky foundation. It's really much easier to work along the way.
Like they say, could you start this whole thing over again?
Right. So she's got 280 pages of it. I probably have another 100 to go.
Right.
And then whatever edits.
And this is not going to be an ebook. Or is it?
I'm going to try going traditional publishing with this instead of self-publishing. Having done the self-publishing, I know it's involved.
Yeah.
I know how easy it is, quite frankly, to launch an ebook.
Mm-hmm.
And to any publishers out there, I hope they're listening and they'll negotiate that aspect of the contract with me.
Right.
Because I know it takes about an hour to load up an ebook. So it's hard to hand over 80% of your royalties on an ebook to a publisher.
Have you written your whole life?
In some form or another, I was in advertising and design for a long time, and I wrote really bland copy for a lot of clients.
Wow. Okay.
And kind of journaled and stuff on the side.
Yeah.
But I think moreover...
So this is a kind of a new life for you.
It's a very new life for me, and I just didn't want to make ads anymore that lined the bottom of cat cages.
Yeah.
day I saw that at the SPCA, an ad of mine at the bottom of cat cage, I knew I needed to do something more lasting.
Okay. You've been through the process of doing an ebook.
Yes.
So you've sort of, in a sense, mastered that. And now you're going what's considered, you know, the old school route, I suppose, of publishing a book.
Right.
But an entirely different process, I would guess.
Very different process.
Yeah. And it must be very intriguing and interesting for you.
Yeah. The ebook, when it came out, it had only about 30 pictures, and I took 2,200 on that trip to Paris. So there were a lot of photos, and being that a photographer has been part of my hobby, I wanted to include those. And the ebook format kind of limits you a little bit, especially on Kindle, because they're black and white only. So when it came time to do the print book, I really wanted to include more. So while the ebook only has 30, the print book has 109 photos, full color. And because I'm a designer by trade, I did the design on the book so that it is really more of a special edition photography version with all the same text.
But how many pictures can you take of the Declaration of Independence?
Oh, no, it's for the Bonjour 40. The Declaration of Independence one, that's a whole other photo realm. That's a whole other, I wish I'd been there to photograph more of that, but.
So you're talking about Bonjour 40.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
It was a much more, I guess, you know, for the viewers that saw the ebook, for readers that had been on the blog and things like that, they said it was just such a shame there weren't more photos.
Yeah.
So it was kind of my readers that made me do the print version because
You could almost do that thing we were talking about before, you know, the Harry Potter thing. You could have had video in there.
I do have a video on YouTube. I took a video of the market at Versailles.
Uh-huh. But I mean, could you have an ebook with a video in it?
Yes, you can have interactive. You can. You can have links and things like that in it, which you couldn't do on the print book.
No.
But the print book for photography just by far beats the ebook.
Well, what about this new one that you're working on? Have you even gotten to designing with the Declaration of Independence?
No, because being an historical fiction, such a massive book, it is more text heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love for when it does come out to have some maps in it of where my character goes, to have some different images and things like that, but Pinterest. Oh my gosh, Pinterest has been fabulous. I've been secretly building a Pinterest board.
For those who don't know, what is it?
Pinterest is a website where you can clip images from other websites and collect them into groupings that are for about gardening or about your home or things like that. And a lot of people use it for a variety of different personal reasons, but...
But it's just visual images.
It's just a collection of visual images. And a few months back, the Pinterest people finally gave us some secret boards that we don't have to share with the public.
You got what?
Secret boards.
Really?
They're...
So Pinterest has secret boards?
We do. A few of us.
All right. So if it's secret, I don't...
You can't see it now.
You can't...
But I'm using it as a research tool, and I'm using it whenever I hit
sites. Okay, so you use it for yourself.
I use it for myself, but my hope is that when the declaration book is done, I will make that thing public, and everyone will have access to all the things I've been using to compile that book.
What a fun idea.
So it's really been, it's been very fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a very fun tool to use for that process.
What about how you feel about you? And I don't want to get into psychobabble, but you've made a pretty significant change in terms of your work. I think a lot of people who are listening always kind of want to do this, you know? It's kind of like, you know? So how'd you get the gumption to do it?
Gumption's a big part of it. I watched a lot of old movies.
Yeah.
Lauren Bacall type movies will give a woman gumption, I think.
Really?
But I think the other part of it is I heard a long time ago that while people of my mom and dad's generation would have one career, people of mine were more likely to have four, five, or six.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so if it starts to feel normal, you start to behave as if it is normal to just switch.
Yeah.
So the Bonjour 40 stuff, it came. I had my own business, my own design business, and I still do
projects
under that. So. Yeah. You have to make the transition.
You're not starving, right?
I'm not starving, and I have a partner at home who's very supportive.
Yeah.
And luckily, a therapist, a professional therapist. So when
I... Who is your partner?
Ted is a...
Yeah, it sounds like you were saying I have a partner at home and a professional therapist, and I was...
He is the...
I know he is the therapist. I didn't want people to think they needed a professional therapist to become a writer. Though.
Right, no.
Although it doesn't hurt.
It couldn't hurt.
So if you're thinking about making art out there, find yourself a therapist.
Right, and it helps twofold if you're a writer. First of all, when you are living that split personality life of designing one day and marketing and then writing another
book.
And
what artist isn't.
Right, you can talk about those issues. But the other really big benefit is I can say, would my character do that? Is that something that someone with that temperament would do? And he's a great sounding board for making sure that the psychosis of my characters is staying consistent with who they are, that they're growing properly. So
we're going crazy properly.
Fabulous for character development.
Well, we're about out of time. So thank you folks for listening. We hope to see you on the radio again next Wednesday at 12:30. This is Hugh Joyce and Tim Bowring, hoping you have a great week, and you are listening to WHAN 1430 AM and 102.9 FM.